Thank you, Katie. Hey, before we get started today, I want to do a quick shout out to our VBS team and everybody that was associated with pulling together our first virtual VBS here at our Father's house. We just completed a wonderful week of doing virtual VBS in our homes, and I was so pleased to see all the different faces from our Father's house and to see how everything came together. It was wonderful for us to get to contribute as a family and then to also participate and partake as a family of what we presented here at OFH. So thank you to Pastor Daniel and Princess Barb, to Karen Ensminger, to Cassie Harsh, to Rachel and Rebecca Jarbo, and so many other people that ended up participating in this. We really are so thankful to everyone who put forth the effort to do virtual VBS. Many churches have not been able to do VBS this year, and we've already been able to partner with a couple of ministries to let them share in our VBS experience. And that goes outside of our state and now even outside of our country. And so we're really excited to see what has come from this. And I can't wait to see where it goes from there too. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone. What a great job. Thank you. Before I get started into the message today, I would like to pray and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, okay? So Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you're sharing in this time and in this season. And I ask that you would just bless the words that come out of my mouth. I submit and I surrender myself to you. Holy Spirit, we ask for your wisdom and revelation today. We ask for you to come and speak to us, that you would share about Jesus, that we would glorify the Father in everything that we speak about here today, and that it would bring about change in our lives and in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been in this season now of coronavirus for, gosh, it's been about 4 months now that we've been doing this. And in this season, there is a message that I keep hearing the Lord say, and that is, focus on me. And so as I've been preparing this message this week, there's something that the Lord brought to me that he spoke to me about a while back in here. And it's just a simple phrase, and that's, don't turn to the right or to the left. And it's been an underlying theme that has come across in much of the sermons that I've shared during this time as we've been going through this. If you look back very early in this, you'll remember the Lord was sharing about going through the storms and staying focused on him and resting in him and trusting him to carry us through this time. And so there's a theme that we are continuing to be about in 2020. It seems like we're getting focused in our vision on the Lord and not being drawn to the right or being drawn to the left away from what he is after in our hearts. And in this time of intense pressure that we've been in, things have been boiling up to the surface that the Lord has just been asking us to just let go of so he can just scoop it off the top as he's continuing to purify us and bring us forward as his representatives here in the earth, that we become more and more mature representation of who he is because we are in Christ. And over these past 3 weeks, we've actually done a lot of foundation laying about unity and freedom and love in Christ, which helps us understand and helps to govern our responses with one another, our interactions with one another, and also with the world, recognizing that together we are the body of Christ. So I'm going to keep working in some of that vein today, and I'm excited to share share this with you because the Lord's really been ruminating in it, me in it over the past several weeks. And there's a passage of scripture that we're going to be sharing today that I've actually heard two other ministers use recently, Dr. Tony Evans and Dr. Vadi Bacham, both of whom have been recommended to me by folks, and have really been pleasantly surprised in listening to these gentlemen, wonderful men of the Lord, and they've been sharing some similar themes that have been resonating with me. So I want to take us first into Proverbs chapter 4, because it has elements of that verbiage that the Lord shared with me of do not turn to the right or to the left. So I want to start here because this is a chapter about wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs is about wisdom, but in particular, this chapter has a really neat nugget in it that I'm not going to get fully into today, but I just want to give it a passing glance. And that is, you know, when we look at the story of Solomon, part of what he is marked by is that when the Lord gave him the opportunity for anything, ask me for anything, basically, Solomon asked him for wisdom. He didn't ask him for gold and riches and all those other things, but God said, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you riches as well. Now, Solomon had an inside view into what he should ask the Lord for. If you go back here into the first part of Proverbs chapter 4, you recognize that his father David told him, get wisdom at whatever it costs you, get wisdom. And so when he was given that opportunity, he took it and asked God for wisdom. So I'm going to go down to the bottom of chapter 4 here and share with you about part of what this wisdom is and how it plays out in our lives and how we're to be focused on God and really focused on his purposes. And so we're going to unpack this a little bit. But here's what we have in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20 through 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips, far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And in some translations, it actually says, remove your foot from evil. See, we are, as the people of God, to be focused on him. We are supposed to be focused on who he is and on the commands that he's given us. And we're not supposed to turn to the right or to the left, but to stay focused and centered on him. Now, there's some verbiage in here in relating not turning to the right or to the left and keeping our foot from evil and staying focused that kind of harkens to Psalm 25, which is actually a Psalm of David. And I'd like to read to you verses 1 through 15 in Psalm 25, because it helps us to see that this is David trusting in the Lord. And we're kind of building a theme here of not turning to the right or to the left and seeing where this shows up in Scripture. So I'm going to read Psalm 25 here. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And here it is. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. So there it is. David's trust is in the Lord. He's looking to the Lord to teach him his ways. He's looking to the Lord to show him his path. He's looking to the Lord to help him in choosing how to move forward. His eyes are ever on the Lord. And we see his son here saying, do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And David saying, for only he, the Lord, will release my feet from the snare. There are situations that come in life that are traps for us. We need to be careful of our footing and how we choose to move forward. And we should be keeping our eyes on the Lord, focused solely on Him, not turning to the right and not turning to the left, recognizing that there are ways that we could go that are really not of the Lord. We're supposed to stay focused on Him, and how we maneuver life should be dependent on the way that He is moving. He is the one, only He, will release our feet from the snare. A snare is a trap, but the Lord can release us from that. He can show us where to sidestep, but He can also release us from that and free us from it. Now, this language of not turning to the right or to the left actually harkens to some passages in Deuteronomy and into Joshua that are particular about following the commands of the Lord. And these are this language of not turning to the right or to the left is to keep the people of Israel on track and recognizing that they are to truly pursue the Lord and His commands for them, and not to be distracted by things that are going on in the cultures of the places that they are going into, the lands that they are going to be inheriting. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 5 here, starting in verse 32. And this is where we see Moses sharing this after he has kind of reshared the Ten Commandments with the people and the commands that God has given them before they're entering into the Promised Land. And he says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." So the particular language of not turning to the right or to the left means something to the people of Israel. They remember that this is about keeping the Lord's commands and being focused on Him in the way that He's told them there to go. So in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, we see another element of that that kind of brings back in some layers that we've been talking about these past few weeks. So listen to the language because it's going to sound familiar. "Hear, O Israel," this is Deuteronomy 6, starting in 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Remember, we've been talking about God being one and unity in the Spirit, that He's called us back into that oneness with Him. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." You know, just last week we were talking about love in Christ and Jesus bringing forward the greatest commandment when, remember when He is asked by asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Remember, we were talking about that last week, and that comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 there. Now, this is important, and you're hearing Moses sharing this with the people there from the Lord. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The commands of the Lord should be ever present in their lives, and they should be so focused on the Lord that they can't miss it, because God wants His people to be following Him and to not be following other gods and other influences that would come in and draw His people away from Him. So we find in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, "Fear the Lord your God, serve Him only, and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of the land." God wants us to be following Him. He wants us to be focused on Him, not turning to the right or to the left. People have a tendency to pull away. And so He keeps calling them, "Come back to me, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me." And in the time that we've been in, you've heard us say, focus on the Lord, focus on the Lord. keep coming back to Him, trust in Him, have faith in Him, have hope in Him, and repent of the things that are drawing you away from Him, because He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart to be protected, and He wants your heart to be secured in Him. God is always after our hearts. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14, we see again, "Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." God wants us not to follow other gods. He wants us to follow Him. He doesn't want us following idols. He doesn't want us to look to other things as the answer and the solutions to the problems that we're facing, the problems that society is facing, the problems that we have in our own lives, within church, within our culture, within our communities. He wants us to be looking to Him, because the answers, the true, greatest, best answers always come from Him. And He wants us as His people to help bring forward those answers. So we see all the way back in the Old Testament that God is after the heart of His people, and He wants them following strong after Him. He wants them to be focused on Him and to not be drawn apart, and to recognize that, He has the answers to the greatest challenges that we face. Now, one of the things that I shared with you, there's a scripture that's come up recently that has come up with by both Dr. Evans and Dr. Bauchem, this passage of Ephesians chapter 2. And as I dug into it and really listened to what's being said in here, it's such a timely message for where we are right now in the earth, dealing with situations like racial reconciliation, and recognizing who we are in Christ. And not only did Christ reconcile us to Himself, reconcile us to God through the cross, He reconciled us to one another. He broke down the barrier between us. And this is a powerful concept for us to understand. So I want to read Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22, because these get right down into the Jew and the Gentile being reconciled through Christ. And that's a great divide there. So here we go. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." You know, Christ went to the cross for us. He reconciled us to the Father, and He drew us into his family. If we're to follow Him, we can step out of darkness and into light. And in so doing, we are reconciled to the Father, but we're pulled into the same family. And Christ broke the dividing line between Jew and Gentile. Now see, in the mindset of the Jews and how God had that set up, it's the Jews and everyone else. So they're the supreme race in that situation. And God is saying here that He has broken that thing down. He has obliterated what has divided them previously. And that's in their relationships with one another. And the Gentiles did not have access to the promises of God. I'm a Gentile. I'm thankful that I now have access to the heart of God because of what Christ did on the cross for me and for us and for all of us. And so when we come into Christ, we are all in the body of Christ together. And He has removed those barriers. He's removed the things that have separated us. Verse 14, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself," this is beautiful language, "one new humanity out of the two." Remember, this is the Jews and everyone else. So it's everybody. God has created a new humanity, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by what? One Spirit. You know, we've been talking through this whole time about, you just keep hearing me say, preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Jesus, he himself is our peace. And he has joined us by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we both have access to the Father. You know, and it says that here in verse 16, that he put to death their hostility. It's having slain. And I love that term. It's not just, you know, putting to death, but having slain their hostility. That puts a different imagery in my mind of what he did there. He obliterated the hostility that's between the Jews and the Gentiles. We're living in a time where there's been hostility, extreme hostility, going back through history between different peoples. And Jesus has obliterated that already. So here we go into verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This passage of Scripture is something that we need to be focused on in this time and in this season. Because we're talking about so much about racial reconciliation. And I want to declare to you today that reconciliation has already taken place in the body of Christ. By Christ on the cross, he already has reconciled us. It's a reality that we're able to partake in, should we choose to. Christ, he broke down the dividing lines between people, and as we come together in him, we are one new humanity. We are one new race. We are one new nation. We are one new people. So whatever it is that has divided us across history, Christ is already the answer to that. Reconciliation across racial lines can only fully take place within the context of the body of Christ and what Christ has done on the cross for all of us. And we have to remain focused on that. We have to remain focused on the fact that we actually carry the answer. Now, our exercise of how we have lived things out in time and space doesn't always meet up to that. But Christ already extends reconciliation in what he has already done. And as we have discussed over the past several weeks, we in the body of Christ have the mechanisms for when we have a breach in the relationships, in relationships that happen between us. When there's a breach and something needs to be repaired, we confess, we repent, and we forgive. Because Christ already paid the price for all of it. So we need to live right now in the reality, the present reality of what God has purchased through the life of his Son. He purchased reconciliation not only with him, but with one another. And so it's upon us within the body of Christ to step into that and bring that forward in the earth, because he has called us to be holy and set apart. He says, be holy, for I am holy, and we are in him. And so we are to demonstrate to the earth something that is different, something that the earth desires, to have reconciliation, but it can't have it apart from Christ. Whatever it tries to do will always fall short, always, always, always fall short of what God has in mind through the body of Christ, and that is us. So we have a responsibility before God to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes. And hear the words of the Lord toward us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to shine before man. You know, the greatest advances that we have had in freedom and liberty in this country have come through the church. The abolition movement started in the church, the people of God crying out to God for liberty for the oppressed, for freedom for the oppressed, to say the way we are treating our fellow man isn't right. This needs to stop. The civil rights movement started in the church. And here we are today. Church, what are we going to do to continue the work that God has been doing in bringing greater and greater liberty to people here within the context of the United States and globally? We are called to have freedom in Christ. We have freedom to be united and to love one another with the love of God in Christ. And we're to put that on display. And whatever is in us that opposes what the Lord is doing in Christ has to be brought before Him so that He can remove that dross from us. Because we are to represent Him here in the earth. We are here to represent Jesus to the earth. And we're to grow and grow in greater maturity. Now remember, at the beginning of this message, I said, don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. We are to stay focused on Him. We are to watch the ways we are stepping forward as we move across time and as we encounter very difficult and very challenging situations where it feels like we're moving through the fog. We're to look to Christ, keeping our eyes ever upon the Lord. So God in Christ has set us apart as an example that He wants to bring forward to show the world this is what reconciliation looks like, and it comes through my Son. Come to me. If you want to be reconciled to one another, be reconciled to me. I've already made it possible, but you have to choose to step into it. And we who are in Him have to choose to live in it and to continue to grow and mature in it. God has great things for us. He has wonderful things that He wants to put on display. He has wonderful expressions of what it looks like to be for people who would be so divided for any other reason to be united, because Jesus is the one who unites us all together. He assembles us all to Himself. Anybody who will come, He says, come, and He brings us into Himself, and we become part of His body. It's magnificent. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Over these next few weeks, we're going to continue to pursue what it looks like. We're going to explore the elements of what we are to value and display in seasons like we are in right now as representatives of our Father's kingdom. Because we are set apart from what the world is doing. And what the world is going to do is going to look a certain way. And we need to understand who it is that we are in Christ and how and what elements we are to be displaying in this time and contrast those with things that the world is bringing forward right now. The world is trying to draw us to the left and to the right now, trying to draw us into alignment with their solutions, political solutions for situations that are really spiritual dynamics, issues of the heart. And we as the people of God are not to end up looking like the world or like what culture is going to do. We are to be looking to our Father for His solutions. And it's not going to look like what the world is doing. We might be starting out from a similar emotion as people, as human beings. We might be starting out as similar emotions as the world is doing, but we're not to follow the paths that they go on to try to reach the solution for the problems that we see. We are always, always, always to pursue Jesus and to look to him and to recognize that he has called us to be part of his body. So we're going to explore some of that over these next few weeks. But now we're going to take communion together. And so ask you to get some bread and some juice or cracker juice, something to drink, wherever you are right now, and gather those elements together. If you're there with your family, gather your family around. You know, when I was a kid, we used to break our crackers with our parents, and we'd share back and forth in sharing in the body symbolically the body of Christ. And those are precious memories for me. So I encourage you that if you have your kids there with you, or your loved ones, that you would break bread with one another. Because we are here partaking in recognizing that we are part of the body of Christ, and recognizing what Jesus did in purchasing freedom for us, purchasing reconciliation for us, the ability for us to be reconciled to God and to one another. These are huge dividing lines, and he purchased that with his body and with his blood, poured out for us, torn open for us, because he loves us that much. So Jesus, we just thank you right now that we get to be reconciled to the Father, and that we get to be reconciled to one another, and that we get to present you to the world, to the glory of the Father, that we get to be an example, a shining example, a brilliant light, like a city set on a hill, demonstrating to the earth that the true answers to reconciliation come through you. The true answers for healing come through you. Father, show us where we are falling short of that right now so that we can abandon it and continue to move towards you, so that we can repent, Lord, and move towards you because of the price you paid. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take and eat in the name of Jesus. And drink. And remember what Christ has done for you. I'm so thankful for the message that Pete shared this morning, his testimony of how God is speaking to him in this time and bringing out things that had been sown into him and came out of him decades ago, and bringing forth a new thing right now in season to tell us this: Jesus is the game changer. He's the game changer. He loves us. He transforms us. He makes us more like him. And I love the line in there: somebody must be praying for me. It's not only about our relationship with God, it's our relationship with one another too. Reconciled to God, reconciled to one another in Christ, in Jesus, our game changer. Keep coming with us as we pursue what the Lord has for us in this time, as we learn more about our identity in Christ and what he has for us in taking up our cross and following him. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.